Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to the Toyota Lounge for the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got the whole squad of four here today, breaking down the Avs' first round matchup against the Winnipeg Jets. It's going to be a series. That is as far as I am confident in saying. Anything beyond that, anything could happen in this series. And I wouldn't be overly shocked, to be honest with you. I really think this could go a whole lot of ways. Before we dive into the nitty-gritty of it, don't give me any explanation. Who do you have winning the series?
Winnipeg.
Avs.
I have the Avs. So we're split on who's going to take this series down. We'll see how it actually plays out. Colorado coming in as the 3 seed, Winnipeg the 2 seed. Let's get the obvious things out of the way first. The most important player in this series on either team, in my opinion, is Connor Hellebuyck.
Is it Connor Hellebuyck or is it Alexander Georgiev?
I think you could make an argument for Georgiev. I think Hellebuyck is the more important one, though.
I actually agree in making it singularly Hellebuyck, because good or bad could change things. Like, even if Georgiev's not great, if Hellebuck's also not great, I think the Avs pull ahead.
The other half of that conversation for me is, if Georgiev's not good, he's not in the series anymore.
I agree with that one.
To Megan's point, though, it is kind of funny. If Georgiev's not very good, great. It's just another day for the Avs.
Avs are used to this.
If Hellebuck's not great, the Jets are like, what do you mean we have to win a game 5-4? What's that like?
Well, look at, 6 weeks ago? Winnipeg Jets.
It's true, there was that small stretch.
Yeah, they lost, 5 of 6 it was?
There have been a couple of small stretches for the Jets this year that make you think, all right.
Catch Hellebuyck on a bad week.
Yeah, the Jets have been prone to some losing streaks where you're like, huh. But so have the Avs, so yep. It's not really an advantage.
Yeah.
The part of the reason why Hellebuyck is so important in this series is because on paper, he's the biggest advantage in the series, right? Of anyone. We'll get into the Avs' advantages and of that too, but the difference between Hellebuyck and what the Avs have in net is by far the biggest gap. And this is why I don't know how to predict this series accurately. If Hellebuyck plays great, Winnipeg could sweep. If Hellebuyck plays terribly, the Avs could sweep. The reality of the series is it's probably somewhere in between, and who knows which route it goes. On the Avs side of the goaltending, realistically, what is Georgiev's leash? If they win game one, regardless of the score, does he get game two?
No.
Okay. What's the number then? That means Annan gets game two.
I don't think that there's a number. I think it's, you have to see it to know it.
Okay.
I don't think there's like if he puts up an 890 save percentage, if he puts up a 700 save percentage, he puts up a 920, but they give up 45 shots on goal, you know? Like, I don't think there's
context matters.
Yeah, there's no number for me. It's just, if it doesn't look like it's gotten any better from the last 7 games that he's played, you'll know it when you see it. And you just can't give him any kind of a leash.
too good of a team to have a long leash. I just listen. I hope he shows up. I hope he's awesome. I hope he's great. Led the league in wins again this year. Perfect. This is the postseason. I always say throw the numbers out the window when the postseason comes. So let's throw the numbers out the window that he's had the most wins in the NHL. Great. It's awesome.
If you're going to throw the most wins out in the NHL, you also have to throw a shitty save percentage out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want him to come in. I'm hoping. Does history show me this year that he's going to snap out of it? I'll say it again. I don't think he finishes the series. So that is not being negative. That is not harping on someone. I just feel that circumstances will lead that Eustace will get in. And like I said, naive, ignorant to the pressures or the situation, and then just maybe run with it. And that's why I picked the Avs to win. And I just feel that. And I picked them in five. You know what I mean? So it's. I feel that it's going to start sideways maybe, and then all of a sudden something's going to change, and I do believe it will be in net.
I think it's one of those retractable leashes because I think the length of this leash changes throughout the course of the series. Like, if they win game one, but it's by a close margin and he doesn't have a particularly good game, I still see Jared Bednar giving him game two, to be honest.
I agree with that. Yes, good point.
And so if game two is a little bit of the same, that's where it's a toss-up. Could be back with Georgiev for game three because I don't think Bednar trusts Anunin. And I think that he has a habit of playing his comfort, and I don't think he's comfortable with either goaltender, full stop.
Yeah.
But I think that he would sooner start Georgiev than Anunin. I still think, though, if it's a pretty clear, like AJ was saying, when you see it, you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he sees that in game one or game two, that's where the leash is absolutely short. It's short. That's the simple answer. I just think that it is going to sort of fluctuate throughout the circumstance of each game and then throughout the series.
Is the moment you know when he snaps his stick across the crossbar? Is that the moment?
It has to be, right? Because that's a problem.
Yep.
Winnipeg sees that and they know. They have the Avs exactly where they want them.
I'm a big body language guy, and I've said it, and I'll say it again. You're right. If I'm Winnipeg, and you look at how this guy is, you look how he's reacting, and body language means a lot for me. It says a lot, and I think when you're giving the other team an advantage, like, you're showing to them that they already have me. They got me. And he's shown this year, you know, by the breaking a stick, or thank God he went what 5-6 games in a row breaking a stick. At some point, like, you have to stop. Like, it's just, you have to control your emotions. I always say you got to bring passion to the game. Nate McKinnon brings passion to the game, but you can't be emotional about it. You know what I mean? Because there's no time for that. And in playoffs, what happens is you're gone and you're going to play golf. It's reality of the beast. That's reality of what playoff hockey is about. So you have to be able to, we talk about it all year long, about goldfish mentality, you know, like just move on. As a goaltender, next shot, next save, that's what's important. You can't worry about the last one. By that time, the game's over. And that's where it creeps up 3, 4, 5, and 15 or 5 on 14 or, you know, it's like, oh my God, like it has to stop. So again, I'm crossing my fingers, but the body language needs to be better. I don't know. I mean, do you learn in playoffs? I don't know. I don't think so. But
we're talking about Alexander Georgiev being kind of a head case and an emotionally volatile player right now. The reason I think that leash might be longer than maybe we're giving a little bit credit for here is because he is that emotionally volatile. If you make that change, you can't go back.
Yeah.
Boston.
You can't go back to him because you make that change, he's crushed.
Yep.
And then if Anadin comes in and is terrible, you can't turn around and then be like, hey, Georgie, you're our guy. Like, he was like, oh, am I? And I don't think that he's going to rise to that challenge of that moment. I think it goes the other way. I think he falls apart.
But I love the point. I love it. And I love your way of expressing it because it's great. But But on the other side, if you don't pull the trigger, then you're playing golf. You know what I mean? Like, so but I agree what you're saying because it's a valid point. But
point of
at some point, yeah. It's like if you don't do it, you might totally. Just be playing golf.
Just might be an extra game.
So it's like,
you might be coming home down two where you're like, all right, Eustace.
Yeah.
Good get on in there, big fella. Yeah.
That's the nuclear option.
Yeah.
But, let's be honest.
Both are tough.
If you're making that decision, and you're not probably thinking about this in the moment, but if you're making that decision, you may well be saying, Georgiev is not playing a game for the Avalanche ever again.
In my opinion, barring injury, that would be the case.
So, could be potentially bigger repercussions than just a playoff series there. Throwing that out there.
But it's tough for a coaching staff, though. I'll tell you that. I heard Jacques Lemaire, though, I was listening yesterday, and the old Minnesota coach, and he was laughing because he's like, as a coach, like, you sleep worried, you wake up worried, you go to the game worried. After the game, you're worried. You win, you're worried. You lose, you're worried. You're always worried, right? I mean, you just don't think that he hasn't thought about those scenarios.
Of course.
No stones unturned, right? You know, it's, buddy, they've talked about all those things. So it's, but when you're in it, oof.
If he gets this wrong, tough. It gets him one step closer to getting fired.
Yep. True.
Which, they could get swept in this series, and I don't think he's getting fired.
A lot of steps to that road, but.
But, yeah. It is starting to get, if they get bounced in the first round 2 years in a row, you are starting to have the conversation of like, okay, we need to start at least broaching this topic.
Yep. Fair enough. Look, it's not complicated. The Avs need better goaltending than they got from Georgiev in the regular season in the playoffs. Full stop. Or Anandin's coming in. That's it.
We should anyway.
We don't make the decisions. We just break them down when they're bad later.
I mean, we know C-Mac and the gang listen to the pod. We'll just tell them. Tell Bedsy it's time.
Give him the signal.
That's like, right. That's right.
I like that.
The signal will be me coming in wearing a Eustace on it in jersey.
I think they'll get the hint.
That's fine.
The thing with Georgiev that I do want to mention, I think we all agree it's a mental thing. Georgiev, the goaltender, has the ability to play quality hockey. Look no further than last season. 100%. You know he's capable of doing it. It's just, can he get himself into a place where he can do it up here?
Yeah, I didn't hate the Seattle series from him either.
No.
There was not much more he could have done. If we saw that level of Georgiev, I'd feel really... I would not have made the prediction that I made in our prediction video.
Yep. So.
I agree.
All that to say, I don't know if you should expect Georgiev to be that guy, but it could happen. I think most of us probably expect the opposite.
Georgiev came up one save shy.
Yep.
In that game 7,
which included pucks bouncing off his own players into his net,
and also a disallowed goal for the Avalanche. Like, it's a perfect storm of things that cost the Avs that series last year. Georgiev really was not high on the list.
Agreed. So. That's the elephant out of the room in this series is the goaltending. We can get into the rest of this series, but before we do, we are brought to you by our new partner in Toyota. We're powered by your Front Range Toyota dealerships, the official vehicle of DNVR. Of course, Toyota has a ton of vehicles to choose from. If you're a truck person, of course, they have the iconic Toyota Tundra, which has been around for years. Everybody loves it. I don't know. I'm not really a truck person, to be honest. I much prefer the 4Runner, if you're asking me. I know AJ's a Corolla or Camry guy?
Corolla.
Corolla. There you go. So, Eric, you're a truck person. You can have the Tundra.
Yes. Right?
We'll take the other cars. We'll call it good. Megan, which one do you want?
All of them.
Okay. Megan can have a whole fleet. We're good.
Enjoyed my time when I was out east driving the RAV4.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Has a little more get up than I was expecting, so that was an adjustment. Every time the light turned green, I was like, am I in a hurry? Like, what's happening here? Yeah, it was,
Well,
Toyotas are awesome, man.
Whatever the vehicle you're looking for, they have 17 different models with all or four-wheel drive, which is perfect for Colorado. And they have the most hybrid vehicles of anybody. 16 different ones to choose for, including even trucks like the Tundra iForce Max Hybrid. So get with your Front Range Toyota store, including AutoNation Toyota Arapaho in Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Groove Toyota in Littleton, Mountain States Toyota in Denver, Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora, and Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Get the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche and the official vehicle of DNVR in Toyota. Then head on over to Bet365. I see you guys putting your predictions in chat already. I see some 4-0 Jet sweeps. I see some halves and sevens. Put your money where your mouth is with Bet365 and go pick a series winner. Whether it be the Avs or the Jets, you might as well make them a little bit of money on the series if you think you know what you're talking about. You can bet on all the other series too. Parlay a bunch of stuff together while you're sitting there. Let's face it, we're going to be sitting here watching every single game tomorrow. It's going to be a blast. Have some fun with Bet365 while you do it. Make sure you sign up with code DNVR365. You get $5 bet on any NHL team, and you get $150 in bonus bets with that DNVR365 code. So jump on it. Get with Bet365. Of course, when you do, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. AJ is about to have the optimist period of this podcast. We have a Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5.
Oh, yeah.
Top 5 reasons why the Avs can beat the Winnipeg Jets.
I forgot we did this. I don't remember what this list is, so.
We're going to do it on the fly.
Oh, yeah. The win one for the Gipper Energy. I love this. This is my favorite bit.
Off to a good start.
Yeah. No. Zach Parise. Win it for the old guy. He's never won one. Big Andrew Cogliano energy here. Every team, I think, has one token old dude who's never won anything, except maybe Winnipeg.
Yeah, you say that, but we were talking before the show.
Yeah.
Who's the old guy on Winnipeg that hasn't won?
I don't know. Maybe it's Brendan Dillon. Did he win a cup in Washington? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Either way.
How old is Niederreiter?
Zach Parise.
Yeah, he might be old.
Just this isn't so much of the on-ice thing as it is the let's end his reputation as the coach killer. Let's put a Stanley Cup ring to lord over all of the coach graveyard in his backyard.
Oh,
how funny would it be if the Gavs do the thing and Zach Parise flies into Minnesota and is just walking with a cup holder? Because there's no cup holders in Minnesota because they don't have any cups.
Right.
That's.
I think him going back to Minnesota with the Stanley Cup for the day is so cold blooded and hilarious. He should take it to the XL Center. DU keeps winning championships there. It's fine. Like let that happen. I am all about that.
Here for the take.
So I've Zach Parise number 5.
I've never believed he's cursed.
Not real. And Megan can see the curses.
We can see the curses.
She sees them.
I also cast them.
That's why she can see them.
I am responsible.
So are you the one that did Frankie dirty?
No.
P.S. Yeah. Frankie did announce his retirement today. So wish him the best, of course. Unfortunately, body just couldn't hold up for him. Anyway. Number 4.
Number 4. Jared Bednar. He's a pretty good coach. He's got a pretty good track record in the postseason. It's an okay track record in the postseason.
Pretty good whenever he doesn't have to face Pete DeBoer.
Yeah. Not great against Pete DeBoer. But also, two of the series losses, you look at the Seattle and Dallas, where you're just like, absolutely everything went against the Avs. Yeah. There's nothing Jared Bednar could have done.
X's and O's thing.
Yes. Yeah. Was the X's and O's change to have not Michael Hutchinson in net? Like, you know, I'm still buying the stock. He's a good head coach. I trust him in a best of 7. I know there are some people that like to complain about his adjustments. I always want to know, what are they adjusting to? Teams are who they are. They don't do a ton of that stuff. That's not how hockey works. This is not fucking football. But I still trust Bednar in a best of 7. I think that he's a quality coach, and I don't trust Rick Bonus in that same setting.
I don't either, to be honest.
It's the demeanor. I love his demeanor because it's even keel.
I do like this too.
I think it's huge.
You don't.
As a player, he's a fiery guy, you know. As a coach, we don't get to see the fiery side because I think he's very good behind the bench and not. Again, I was talking about Georgiev earlier.
Yeah, because right? It does.
I mean, he does have passion. He does have more. He has a good pulse on his team.
No John Cooper meltdowns, though.
Yeah, that's and again, behind closed doors, I'm sure he, you know, he's very mellow, again, in everyday life. But I'm sure behind closed doors at times with his staff and in his players, you got to put your foot down, right? And I'm sure has not been afraid to do that. And I think you don't see that side of him when you're obviously behind cameras and, you know, everybody's looking at you. But I love the calmness. I think it's very important, especially in playoffs. You want to show that you're alive. I'm not saying he's a corpse, but I'll tell you one thing. He brings stability. And I think same thing with Prater and Ray and those guys. I think they do a good job. You know what I mean? I think you're right. This is it's a key component of – it's an advantage for the Avs against Winnipeg in my book.
Looking at the 26 comeback wins, I attribute – honestly, that fact has a lot of different layers to it, some good, some bad.
It does.
But I look to Bednar and his resolve behind the bench as just a part of that. The Avs' ability to not panic and come back in games, I think, has been tested a lot this season. And I think it starts with him and how he handles things as a coach. I think he's a great advocate for his players. And even though we don't always see him getting heated in post-game press conferences, he's still an advocate for his players in-game.
Yep.
And I think that is the type of thing that matters. His track record, too, in getting his team to the postseason is indisputable.
Yep.
And obviously mixed in the postseason results, except there is a cup to his name. And I'm excited to see Bednar get the opportunity at the chess match. That is the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think he really enjoys that aspect of it.
Number three?
Yeah, sure. What's number three? Special teams. Special teams, special plays, special players.
Okay, sketch.
What's up, brother? Something like that. Yeah.
Tuesday.
Something like that, right?
What's the original? Like, I don't know what it's from. I've just heard. Okay, thank
I've
so
seen
much.
It because of my kids.
Just an internet streamer guy.
Okay.
He pretends to be the QB while he plays Madden. So yeah.
Are
just
we laughing
like,
with him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit.
Cool.
The whole thing's a bit.
Yeah.
It is really weird to see him as like a normal person when you see him on camera.
When
like
he's
acting
not
normally.
Doing the bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I only saw like a brief preview of it, the bit, and I was like, are we laughing at this person or are we laughing with them?
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Good.
He's in on the joke for sure.
Love.
The Avs have a really big advantage in special teams. In theory, Colorado's PK has been so horrible down the stretch.
The last six games. Yeah.
That it kind of tanked a ton of their numbers. Yeah. And their numbers went from through 74, 75 games. This was a pretty good PK unit. It had its struggles, but after the deadline, it was awesome.
Until it was awful.
And then it got lit on fire over the last 10-ish games or so and was brutally bad. Beyond that, though, the Jets' power play, bad pretty much all season. Given its personnel, it's kind of surprising. They don't really move the puck very well. It doesn't look like they know what they want to do. It doesn't look like they have a very strong concept. They don't have an identity. It's not, hey, Kyle Connor's our best shooter, so we're going to feed him. Mark Scheifele can do one-timers, so we're going to do this. You know, it's never anything like that. They don't play that way, where they're like, here's what we do, here's what we do well. Try and
they
stop it.
They just kind of do stuff.
They stand around a lot. There's not a lot of puck movement. And they're like, all right, well, we're just going to take what you give us. And for a lot of teams, that's not very much. And then they don't do very much.
The thing is, like, obviously I'm not saying the Avs PK doesn't matter. If they get lit up, they'll lose the series. But the Avs power play is far more important than it is successful against this team, just given Connor Hellebuck, a Jets team that just does not give up very many goals at 5-on-5. The Avs have to capitalize on their power play opportunities if they want to be successful in this series.
It's not a very good PK. It's not a very good power play. They have a big advantage. They should have a big advantage on special teams.
Well, special teams is, like you're saying, is so big in playoffs, but big momentum. That usually you'll have a big kill, you know, on a tight game, or you're down by a goal, you're up by a goal. It brings momentum to your game, you know what I mean? And the opposite of it too, right? Obviously, you have a big power play and it goes bad. It gives momentum to the other team. So special teams for momentum swings are absolutely the number one factor in a playoff series. I'm talking about not top five, betting our top five today. What I'm saying is, but in order to change momentum of a game, special teams is the number one thing to use, good or bad, right? Because if it goes bad, then it's a downer, you know what I mean? So yeah, special teams are huge.
We'll see. On paper, the Avs should be the better special teams team in this series. But other things to consider. Winnipeg, fifth least amount of minor penalties in the league this year. So they don't give you a ton of opportunity there. I don't know. The Avs special teams, and really every team's special teams, is just so streaky that, is it wishful thinking that you're just hoping it gets hot at the right time?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay.
Because we've seen the highs and lows from the Avs power play specifically. Like with the penalty kill, I kind of always expect that to ebb and flow the way that we saw it. I think I saw it be good enough to have confidence that that's not going to be the problem. Though, you know, if it is, then it's a really big one. But it's the power play that I have more concerns with, because I feel like the highs and the lows have fluctuated so much with the same personnel that it will be a difference maker.
The Avs were number one at drawing penalties this year, correct?
Yeah.
Total penalties drawn, yes.
Drawn, yes. But you said Winnipeg is one of the best at not taking penalties. Correct. So it's a good match. I mean, you know, interesting matchup.
Both of them, funnily enough, this was before Game 82, but after Game 81, they were both plus 20 on penalty differential. So similar in that regard. Number two.
Kel McCarr. He's better than Josh Morrissey.
By a lot.
Fight me, all of Manitoba. We've all kind of felt like it was a downish year for Cale Makar, and he had 90 points. You know, obviously the point production is special. Another 20-goal season from a defenseman, and we're like, he could have been better. Like, the expectations for him are ungodly.
Yep.
He has a Conn Smythe trophy in his cabinet. He has a Stanley Cup. He has a Hobie Baker. The guy's won everything. He's got gold medals. Like, what do you want from him? Well, I want him to have a great series against a Jets team that can't really match up against him. He should be an X factor in a huge way, because the Avs are the best transition offense in the NHL.
Yep.
The Jets are very good in transition defense, but Cale Makar is at the head of so much of their transition game from their blue line. They lead the league again in defenseman scoring because of this, because they get up in transition, because they attack. All those guys take that lead from Cale Makar, who attacks with fervor, I guess we'll just politely say. He gets up the ice and he goes.
Yep.
And he's the best goal-scoring defenseman in the NHL. When that guy gets open ice and when he gets into transition, he has 90 points. So we're talking a lot of strength on strength here. What these teams do well match up well, where you're like, okay, whichever one of these teams wins this battle is going to have a really good chance to win the series. Cale Makar having a great series
swings the pendulum a little bit.
Yeah. It puts the Jets into some real trouble.
I think that the part of his game, too, that we have felt has taken, I don't even want to say step backwards, but it's just not been as strong as we've seen it prior, is defensively.
Yep.
And I still don't think it's maybe as bad as it seems. Just in looking at the numbers of scoring chances allowed on a whole from the Colorado Avalanche, high danger, it's about 12th fewest altogether at 5v5, just to be specific. It's around 6th fewest. For Cale Makar and Devontaeves as a pairing, it's pretty middle of the pack, but they absorb a lot of ice time together. Yep. And I think what's interesting about Cale Makar, too, is he finishes 9th in ice time again this year. So he's a player utilized in all situations. And with the absence of Gabriel Landeskog official this year, I think that he is a player who absorbed a lot in terms of leadership that I don't want to put words into his mouth and suggest that this has taken some kind of a toll, but I think it required a little bit of adjustment, just addressing the media as often as he had to this year. And by had to, I mean he feels that obligation to. That's just the type of player that he is.
Yep.
He really stepped up in a way that I don't know if we, not we specifically, but just we as a fan base have given credit for. In the absence of Landeskog, he is someone then who is constantly fielding questions from the media and then facing scrutiny and criticism. And so when he is having the dip in his play and still having an incredible season, he is answering for it a lot throughout the year. And I can't help but wonder if the result or the outcome we've seen for Cale Makar this year was something of him getting used to even more responsibility in that, right? I think he's handled it very well. And I think it only gets better from here now that he's had a full season and getting used to that. And I think this is the type of hockey that he gets the most excited about. And so I'm really excited to see what Cale Makar looks like in playoff form. And I'm not reflecting on this season as a negative for him at all, because 90 points is 90 points. And the production has been there from both Taves and Makar to expectation. And where things have fallen off defensively, I'm not going to excuse it, especially in that last 10-game stretch. Just everybody needed to be better. That is the bottom line. But I do think that they are better. And recency might have us quick to say that they've not been as good defensively. And there's truth in that, for what it's worth. When you look at how the Avs finished defensively for this season compared to the Cup team, it is obvious that the Cup team was better. But when you look at how they stack up against how they finished defensively on the year against other teams in the league right now, it is not that bad.
So I do want to talk about recently quickly with Makar too, because I really think we've seen Makar ramp his game up over the last 3 weeks, even if the team around him certainly has its own problems. I think through the middle of the season at times we would see Makar, you know, that shimmy move at the blue line, I felt like he was going through the motions with it a little bit. At times his edges didn't feel like Cale Makar. And over the last 3 weeks, it's come back. You watch him just shake dudes. You watch him cut to the net and create these incredible opportunities. It really, really feels to me like if you wanted to pick one guy that's really ramping up into this playoffs for the Avs, it's Makar.
I agree. I think you see it in his eyes, too. You see it in his eyes. He's got that fierce look that, you know, it's a baby face and rosy and cheeky, but you can see he's like, he's focused. And I agree with you, Rudo. Like, I feel like his biggest asset is his edges, right? I mean, his game on his feet is absolutely, it's lethal, it's wrong, it should be illegal. To be that good on steel is not right. It makes you superhuman. But I agree with you, the last few weeks, you can see he's feeling, whatever it was, he's feeling better. Just like I think, it's nothing on the sidebar, like Val was feeling it last game. Yeah. You know, where you're like, oh, okay. He's starting to feel it now on his feet. You know what I mean? So I think we saw that with Cale there the last few weeks. I agree with you. That is a huge, huge advantage, Colorado, to have a Cale Makar. And always remember, that's how they're built. They're built like that for a reason.
Well, and on top of Megan's kind of leadership point, it's kind of a redemptive series for him.
Yeah.
He got suspended in the postseason last year.
Yep.
He owes him one.
Ooh, boy, I would not want to be the team facing a Cale Makar that owes somebody one.
Well, and that's, you know, that's I want to see that, though. Yeah, I want to I owe the guys this. I've waited a full year to get back to this moment. I want this. Like, I want this right now. I want this opportunity to make it up for him. Val Nichushkin also owes him one.
Yeah, he sure does.
I don't know if he feels the same way. I just don't know. But Cale Makar is exactly the kind of guy with the emotional intelligence and the loyalty bred into him in such a way that
he knows
he owes.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
I wanna see it. I want to see that. And it's tough because I do feel a certain way about his regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does find that postseason level, okay.
Is the Avs best out in this series? Cale Makar calling his alien buddies to abduct Connor Hellebuck.
Aww. Oh, as long as they bring him back.
Well, they can have him back after the series.
Yeah, Bond star him. Yeah, let's do that.
And, of course, number one, you should know who this is going to be, is Nathan McKinnon. Either way, as Tiff tries to find the graphic, it's Nathan McKinnon.
It's Nathan, yeah. It's Nathan McKinnon because the guy is, at very worst, second place in your Hart Trophy voting this year. If he drops below that, then...
You're wrong.
Yeah, these hands are going to be rated E for everyone on the internet. Nathan McKinnon, at this level, there isn't any skater on the Winnipeg Jets that can hang. Now, there might it might take all five of them.
As a unit.
Because he's not going to be better than all five guys on the ice consistently. And then, you know, there might be a shift or two. But he is at such a level. He's already such a special player. But to be at the level that he is, there's no skater on the Winnipeg Jets that belongs. Now, this is a team game, obviously. I know Eric loves that.
It is.
But when you go into a best of seven and you have Nathan McKinnon playing at this level, it's a big advantage.
Potentially the biggest advantage.
Yeah.
I know I talked about Connor Hellebuck being the most important person in this series, but I'm not saying Nathan McKinnon will do it, but there's a version of Nathan McKinnon that can just take this series over and decide that the Colorado Avalanche win.
It's been unprecedented. We don't know what this version of Nathan McKinnon looks like in a playoff series because we'd never seen this regular season from McKinnon before. And I think it's special because in hearing AJ talk about him competing against the Jets' top players, I'm even just imagining how this McKinnon stacks up against past versions of McKinnon. I think that he fuels himself by striving to be better than a past version of only himself. And because he's already one of the best players in the game, it just gets scary then what that next level looks like for him, because he has been good in the postseason for the Avs before this. And I think that is number one for a reason and a big X factor for the Avs, because what he's done this season is historic. And it's beyond just franchise records, which was already so impressive, but how much he consistently produced at home and then the records he was chasing down league-wide, I think, make it an important and worthy part of the conversation to get excited about.
When you talk about him obliterating a Joe Sakic season.
Yep.
Like, Joe Sakic was pretty good.
He's all right. Okay hockey player.
Like, that's a top, for my money, a top 15 skater in NHL history.
Yep.
Jesus. And Nathan McKinnon obliterated.
Wasn't close.
Yeah, obliterated. 50 goals, 140 points. Dude. It's just special stuff. It's video game numbers.
Something Eric talks about a lot with this. When you have a guy like Nathan McKinnon who is backpacking 17 other dudes every other night, you get a feeling around the entire team, right? All of a sudden, when that guy's going like that, the third line guys, the fourth line guys are like, we got to do our part. We got to be a part of this.
It is contagious. It's infectious. And that's why those guys win, right? Because they have the ability to, you know, like you hear that all the time, drag down the rest of the team into the fight, right? You know what I mean? You're just like, hey, if this guy's going, and it doesn't start just when puck drops, right? It starts at practice. It starts at training camp. It starts in the summer. And I think he's good at that. He's, you know, maybe to a fault, right? You know, that he's not so friendly or whatever it is. And to each their own. Everybody's different, right? But I think that's where Kale comes in, you know, a little, and that's where Mikko comes in a little bit more goofy. And I think they do have a good mix between their, obviously Landy not being there, but they have a good mix between their core. And it's just important to lead by example. I don't think he's the most vocal guy, you know, like Joe was never a vocal guy. Joe never spoke, but he sure performed. You know what I mean? And that's what, and it was at practice and it was in the weight room and it was, at, you know, everywhere. So I think you see that a lot with Nate, and I think I like I've said it earlier, like it's once you taste it, you want more. You know what I mean? And I do believe this guy wants more. I do believe it's shoot, I'm gonna say something very stupid. Maybe only scratching the surface of those 140 point seasons. You know, maybe you'll I don't know. Maybe you'll maybe he's gonna next year go take more. Yeah, I don't know. But right now it's certainly a special one. I think that if that's your leader, you're in good hands.
I think that in all of that too, Jonathan Drouin understands McKinnon's intensity in a way unlike many players can, and I think he helps to manage it. I think that has been a useful, maybe quiet benefit to McKinnon this season as well.
For sure.
For a guy who jumps on McKinnon's line this year for a significant portion of it, I think it's a good point. And I'm not trying to compare juniors to NHL-level talent, but Jonathan Drouin's seen Nathan McKinnon in a Memorial Cup run. He knows what the single-minded Nathan McKinnon will do anything to win looks like. So a very good point on that front. It's the end of the top five, but since you brought up Jonathan Drouin, still no real update on him as of today.
No, and I wouldn't read into that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm not overthinking it, but, you know, come game one, hopefully he's in the lineup and good to go.
And they'll practice tomorrow, yeah. So hopefully we'll get more of an update, but I wouldn't immediately hit panic on that.
For sure. Anyway, that was our top five, never ordinary, from Bet365. We've already shouted them out. Make sure you go get over and get with Bet365 to get all your playoff betting in and done. After that, make sure you got a beer in your hand when you're enjoying playoffs all day, every day. The official craft beer of DNVR, Breck Brew, right over there in that bucket. You can go get yourself some right now, whether it be the Avalanche Amber Ale or any other flavor. They have dozens to choose from. Something for everybody. And you can get it anywhere in the United States. Go to your local liquor store. You can find Breck Brew online with their online beer locator at breckbrew.com. Once you've got your Breck Brew, you're sipping, you're chilling, you're enjoying playoff hockey, make sure you can focus on the hockey. Don't be thinking about all the problems going on with your house. Get Red Hawk Roofing. Go to redhawkroofing.com today. Get a free inspection scheduled. They'll come out. They'll come on your roof. They'll take pictures. They'll let you know what's going on up there and what you need to do, which is hopefully nothing. But if there is damage or you have problems, they can get it fixed up for you. And even if you're a slacker like me and you don't like to get the inspections and you don't do all that, they have 24/7 emergency services. So if something does go wrong, Red Hawk Roofing can come out, help you out, get it patched up, and you'll be good to go. Go over to redhawkroofing.com. They're a local company just like us, so get them out there to at very least look at your roof and get it fixed if you need it. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We've talked about the top guys. We've talked about the goaltending. Let's get into the middle, the murkiness of this matchup. You have a Avalanche second line with a healthy Jonathan Drouin. It's likely to be Mittelstadt, Nichushkin, and Lehkonen, but maybe you're dropping Mikko to that line. Maybe you're changing things up. I'll tell you this. I have a lot more faith in that second line than I did in the last year's Avs second line, but I don't know what to expect in a playoff series from it.
Shit, man. You mean that Evan Rodriguez, Lars Eller, JT Compher, second line did not do it for you?
Sounds like a great third line.
Does it?
I mean, yeah.
Sounds like a competitive third line, I guess. But
The Lars Eller part's the other two sound like a great third line.
Where's Dennis Morgan in all of this?
HC Lions.
Switzerland.
Yeah, did he go to the Swiss League? Place of
Mark Crawford. Ex-Avs coach, yeah.
Look.
They're in the finals.
I can espouse how much I love Nathan McKinnon and his ability to be the man in this series. As much as I would love for him to take it over, he's going to need some help. If you want to solve Connor Hellebuck, you're going to need some help.
We're talking about, like, Nathan McKinnon, how great he is this year. He was great last year. He was really good in that playoff series, too.
It's true.
You watch him in Game 7 of that. They dominated Seattle in Game 7, but they didn't get the bounces, and they got their game-tying goal taken away.
Yep.
That's like hockey stuff happened. That's just how it be. But
And how you prevent that is not getting zero goals from your bottom seven forwards.
Yeah. Like, they got 1 point out of those guys last year?
It was like ridiculous.
I believe an assist.
I think a Cogs assist, I want to say, but yeah, I don't know.
That's it? You got 1 point out of those guys?
Yeah.
You're just better equipped this year to handle that, starting immediately on your second line where, you know, Val Nichushkin, if he's in the lineup, that's a huge step up.
Yep.
Jonathan Drouin, if he's in the lineup, then you have the top six that you want.
Yep.
Whatever the alignment is, it's better than it was a year ago.
Yep.
Granted, the Jets are better than the Kraken.
That's true.
When you look at strength on strength, it's really more about how the Jets play as a team than anything when you go individually. Adam Lowry's great. For my money, he's had the best third line center. He was the best third line center in the league this year. He's going to see a lot of Nathan MacKinnon in Winnipeg. I imagine he doesn't see as much of him in Colorado because Bednar is going to be like
best on best.
Well, especially if they play Connor with Scheifele, he's going to go hunting that because they suck defensively, especially Kyle Connor. So you put Colorado's best line out there and it's like, okay, we'll take our chances here. But Adam Lowry is great. Is he enough? Is he enough to stop Nathan MacKinnon? And if that's the case, if he equalizes Nathan MacKinnon and somehow removes him entirely from the series, if he does, crown him. Wow. Yep. But Colorado's lineup is deeper. And as we've talked about before, they got Casey Mittelstadt. They have the highest scoring defense in the league.
Yep.
It's not just your forward core that you have to worry about. You have to worry about a very aggressive defense that jumps into the play, especially in the transition game. They want to attack up the ice. They have to play very disciplined, and they can't take a lot of chances, which means that the Jets are going to limit themselves offensively because they have to play very safe against an Avs team that is always trying to fly the zone.
The Avs will open you up if you take those risks.
And that's where, on the other side of that, that's where the Avs get in trouble trying to exit the zone. Because teams extend possessions on them because the Avs are always trying to get out of the zone as fast as they possibly can.
Yep.
And that creates their in-zone defense this year for the Avs has been bad.
Sure.
It's just been bad. I think the conversation around their defense and the scoring chances and the high danger chances is wildly overblown.
I agree.
It's not as good as the cup-winning team. It's just not. Their team defense isn't as good. Their defense isn't as good, and it's not as good in zone.
Yep.
That's just truth. But trying to pretend like transition goals just don't exist in the postseason? Give me a break. But the Avs have to improve there, and they might need to tamper down some of the transition game to make sure that the in zone game gets raised a level. That's my biggest area of concern when you're talking about the Avs playing defense against them. It's not any particular line matchup because all of Winnipeg's top nine, very good. Their fourth line, it's a fourth line. It's the same way I feel about Colorado's fourth line. Yeah, it might score a goal here or there. It shouldn't be like Seattle's, which ate Colorado up last year.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. It's the team structure defense, right, in their own zone, that I don't think it's horrible. I expect it to be better in the playoffs, but certainly an area you can look at and say, look, if the Avs continue to give a team like Winnipeg second, third opportunities, it's going to burn them.
Has it burned them repeatedly in the regular season, even against weaker teams?
Yep.
The Jets will beat you in that area if your puck management is poor, the Jets will ram it down your throat and your goaltending isn't good enough to make up for it.
That's, I think, the story of why they went down 0-3 in the series against the Jets is because of poor puck management. And it's at both ends.
Yep.
Uncharacteristic of the Avs. I feel like a broken record because we talked about this in the season preview, but it's not just, I talked about what they were doing wrong in the offensive zone. Turnovers, broken plays, and being a little bit too late on the back check, but it's also the end zone coverage that AJ's talking about. They can't be any more failed clears. They need to, those are the types of plays that they need to be making their routine, and they need to be cleaner. And I think that they can be because they're a much smarter hockey team than I think like the Winnipeg matchup specifically showed. And then to AJ's point too, against weaker teams, a lot of the mistakes I'm describing, those were exactly the kinds of mistakes that they were making. And so they're a little bit boneheaded. They're much smarter than that. And I think that that's why the season matchup against the Jets isn't the fullest and most realistic picture for what you can expect for the Avs in the playoff series.
I think the play near the end of the game last night from Cale Makar is a perfect encapsulation of this. You're 5-1 in the game 82. That doesn't matter. Yeah, Cale Makar is going to try some insane one tap between his own legs, one touch pass. You're 3-2 in a playoff game. You think Cale Makar's trying that out of the blue line? Absolutely not.
They played a little unsafe in the regular season. Like AJ's talking about how, you know, Winnipeg's going to need to play really tight. I think there's just something about the Avs that they played quite risky hockey in some of these games. And I think the result is what the price that they paid for that at times. So I think they're going to tighten it up too. But there's still the potential for the fun skill plays.
Yep.
I think they'll just be smarter about it.
You know, there's one thing we don't talk enough about in playoffs, too, is discipline. And what I mean by discipline is not me whacking AJ or and the ref doesn't see it and then AJ comes at me with a retaliation penalty. That's dumb.
I'll do it.
I know you would. That's why I'm using you as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. You got to be able to control your emotions. But discipline for me is exactly what we've been talking about the last 5 minutes. To be able to manage the puck in a situation sometimes that, AK, you know, you're down by a goal and then you're like, oh, I'm going to try something. You know, like, discipline to stick with it. Discipline, you hear guys all the time, oh, we stuck with it. It's very important not to all of a sudden go haywire on your game plan or on the way you play. And sometimes it takes discipline because sometimes it's not there when you get into the blue line and there's four guys stacked on the red line, on the blue line, and you have to put it in a soft area where the other guy, you know, it's not as pretty as trying to do something. So you need to have the discipline to play the right way and to not all of a sudden just open up the valves and, you know, hey, you're down by four goals, I got no problem. It's kind of like you're up by 5-1 last night, who cares, a meaningless game. Sure, try something stupid. You know what I mean? Like, who, you know, they have the ability to do it because they're so talented. But I think the discipline to stick with it and then to just play the correct way. And I think Bednar talked about it yesterday, and he said, well, we touched on it a little bit in that, you know, obviously a lot in that Minnesota game. We touched a lot on it on, was it the Vegas game, the first two periods, and we got away with it. So bits and pieces, their game is getting back together. Now it's a matter of getting it together for 60, but how do you do that? I think discipline is a very important key, and not the retaliation AJ penalty, but the discipline of playing the right way.
Discipline has been an issue directly for
on
penalties.
Top of it. Yeah, yeah, on top of
for
it.
For the
yeah.
Avs down the stretch.
Oh, that's deadly.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh Manson. I'm just kidding. That's like very recent, too. I'm yeah. going to point to that very recently.
I'm less worried about it. I don't think it'll be anywhere near as egregious.
I don't think that's the whole story of the season.
But it is a thing to note that the Avs can't put themselves in those bad situations.
No.
It's interesting. I do really like the way AJ puts it, because I think if you go individual by individual, you probably have more Avs that you individually give the nod to in this series. But as a team, as a unit, I think the Avs can play as well as the Winnipeg Jets do. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they've done it consistently enough this year. And then Connor Hellebuyck remains the biggest checkmark for anyone in this series. He's the biggest difference.
Yep.
So that's what leads us to a panel of Jets in 6, Jets in 7, Avs in 6, Avs in 5. We literally have the entire gamut of outcomes except for a sweep.
A sweep.
Yeah, like
coward.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, you think the Avs will win? Why don't you think they'll sweep?
Look, when you guys go watch our prediction previews, I picked a lot of sweeps, all right? So, only a coward in this series.
My man's like short series.
I'm drama. That wasn't necessary.
Hey, I'm down. 6 and 7 game series are way more fun.
I need to be braver.
Yeah, Vegas sucks.
Yeah.
Dallas in 4.
I needed to fully send at least one of them.
I'm here for it. going to be a fun playoffs. Any final things you guys want to touch on before you get to the last couple things and wrap up?
Megan, do you want to talk about Frankie?
Yeah, I did. Obviously, the retirement is officially announced by Francis today. And so I just wanted to take a second as a panel to acknowledge what he meant to the organization, because it is a little bit sad that it comes on the heels of the regular season and he's not here for a proper send-off. And I hope that he gets a chance to issue a farewell around the team, around the fan base at some point, though he seems really happy back home, too. You know, the writing was on the wall a little bit with the string of injuries just stacking atop one another. So I don't know that anyone's necessarily surprised, but I don't want to breeze by the role that he played in the organization and their path to the cup in the 2022 season, because I think his absence has been really felt this year, and it gives further appreciation to what he meant to the organization.
There is a timeline not too far away from this one where at this moment, Pavel Francouz is the Avs' starting goaltender. Obviously not the way things played out, but
this will forever be, will forever go down in Avalanche history. It was 6-0.
Yep. Undefeated in that playoff run.
6-0 in a Stanley Cup run as your backup goaltender. Regardless of how well he played in some of those games, it doesn't matter. He won those.
Yep.
Now it is time for Frankie to relax.
Hey, there we go. Wishing him all the best.
Good person, good person, awesome good goalie. Guy.
Easy to be cool with. All right. On that note, we are brought to you by Volo. If you're going Frankie mode and retiring, you can still get in some drop-in sports with the Volo Pass. Volo is the modern-day sport and social club, and it's only $20 a month. And in fact, it's even half that for the first 3 months when you sign up with code DNVR3. It's a great way to meet new people, get active, and play games. You can get out and play all sorts of different sports. I know we have the DNVR bowling team that apparently won their match the other night. So look at them go. They've got flag football, basketball, softball. They come in and play flip cup in the bar all the time. lots of stuff to get into when it comes with Volo. With the Volo Pass, you get unlimited access to pickups, league drop-ins, and more, including discounts and tournaments. So go get with them. Sign up with the Volo app using code DNVR3 today to get $10 off a month for the first 3 months of your Volo membership. And once you're a Volo member, make sure you're taking care of your money while you play your sports with Premier Members Credit Union. They're not a bank, they're a credit union. So that means they have a lot more options for you to be making money on your money, including things like their new high-yield savings account, or you can earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with a reverse-tier money market. Whatever your goals, PMCU can help you. They're all about creating a better banking experience for their community. When you become a new member at PMCU, they'll give you $200 just for opening a checking account and signing up for e-statements. That's all you got to do. It'll be your best money move yet. Head on over to becomepremier.com to find out more. Looks like we do have one super chat here from Aaron, who says, regardless of outcome, it's been a pleasure talking hockey with each and every one of you for another season. Had to move out to Seattle, and DNVR makes me feel just enough like I'm back home. Cheers. Thank you very much, Aaron. We appreciate that a lot. That's all we try to do. We're always happy to talk hockey with just about anybody.
With just about anybody.
Yeah, there's some of you that suck.
There's some exceptions.
You know who you are.
We hope you guys enjoy the content. You guys have shown us a ton of love this season. We'll do more about this once everything is all said and done. But just know we appreciate all y'all so very much. That's all I got. We're going to wrap this one up. We will have more season previews. In fact, if you're interested in the Eastern Conference, I think all of our Eastern Conference previews are already up on YouTube. So go check those ones out. The Western Conference ones will start going up tomorrow morning. So keep your eyes peeled for full previews of the entire playoffs. We are off tomorrow. I'm sure we'll all be chilling on Twitter, tweeting about the nonsense of the playoff games. So find us there. And then we'll be back Sunday for Showtime. So go check out the new shirts. McKinnon won, the Halifax Homies, and our official playoff shirt for 2024, all out there right now at dnvrlocker.com. We appreciate y'all, and we will see you on the next one. Mwah. We
all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.